Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, author, holistic nutritionist, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And if this is your first time joining us on the How Now podcast, welcome to the show. You are now officially a part of the How Now family. Please go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can go to the bottom of the page and there's a banner for this week's show. And if you click on it, it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel where you can check out my playlist and you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you hit the notification bell so you always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into this week's show where we are going to be talking about serving your soul. Okay, this year my mantra was to talk about restoration and rehabilitation. How do we go about restoring and rehabilitating different aspects of our life? And over these last few weeks, if you've been following along, we've been talking about toolboxes and talking about the tools that we need to address certain things that are going on in our lives. So we talked about three different toolboxes: your spiritual toolbox, your mental toolbox, and your physical toolbox. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about your mental and your kind of spiritual toolbox and how we can fill those things by talking about serving your soul. And to help me go through what's going to go into those particular toolboxes is my lovely guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. Take it away.
Allison Jeffries. I am the author of the best-selling book, A Woman's Guide to Surviving Divorce. I am the author of that book because I've been through it twice. You know, not something I ever thought I'd want to say this publicly, but at the end of the day, if it serves someone else to hear what it feels like and what you can do about it, it's worth it. So I am divorced twice on my third marriage. And, you know, there was a lot that happened in between the beginning and the end of that short story. Yes. And the long story is you go through life ill-prepared, ill-equipped to understand what's going on around you. And it just gets more and more complicated as you go. But we're doing our best. We all are. And in the end, you hit a place where you say, okay, after my first divorce, I was dented. After my second divorce, I was broken. But like you, Kim, I am a big believer in love. And I knew that there was my person out there waiting for me to get it together so he could find me. Right. And so I took my time. I took my time after my second divorce. At the time, I traveled for a living. And so I was on planes every week, at least two or three round trips. And so there I am. I worked for a bank. You cannot sit on your computer on an airplane when you work for a bank. That's a privacy issue. So I got a little iPad and a little keyboard and I'm typing away. And every time there's a woman anywhere near me, she'd be looking over my shoulder and she'd see what I was writing. And she'd go, oh, is this, what are you writing? You know, of course, I know she read it. She knew what I was doing. And it was so wonderful because all these women, hundreds of women, as soon as they knew what I was writing, as soon as I began to introduce them to why I was writing this book, they would tell me their stories. They would share the advice they got. They'd share the things that hurt them. They'd share the things that went well for them. And in the end, because I'm a pattern watcher, it allowed me to pick up the patterns and the sequences of events and the things that women have in common.
Yeah.
And so luckily for anyone who's read my book, it's not about me. It's about the common journey that we as women have when our marriage ends. Mm. From that moment when, you know, it happened and everything you know and believe to be your life is gone in that instant.
Yeah.
To the five stages of grief, that we go through, maybe not in the same order and maybe not always in the same way, but we go through them.
Right.
Then we go through the plateau phase of just getting it together to where we're ready to start rebuilding. And then we start rebuilding our lives. And if we've done the work during that time, when we rebuild our lives, we rebuild our lives better, happier, stronger. Ourselves, we're better, happier, stronger, and we're more equipped to be in the relationship that we dream of. In a way that not only is it better for us, but it is so much better for them. And so you quit being that common denominator. Right. And that was what I wanted to do, is I didn't want to be the common denominator anymore. I wanted to be my best self. And I wanted to be able to find someone that would love me just exactly as I am. Not for who they want me to be and not for who this up here tells me I should be.
Right.
No, just for who I am. And when you do that, all three parts of what you talked about, you know, the spirituality, that the mental part of our lives, and then right. the physical part of our lives line up beautifully. Yeah. And just the short part about I think my favorite thing to tell about the book is I wrote it long before I met Jeff. Sat on my computer for 7 years. I finally finished it in the middle of the night one night. The only person I knew that would be up at that time was my boss. So I sent her a message. Oh, I finished my book. And she goes, I didn't know you were writing one. Okay, fine. And I put it back away. It was done because I wrote the first part as I was going through so much of it. But it had to have that ending that gave hope. And so I had to wait till I had lived the happy ending. Before I could write an ending in this book that would make sense. And so I finished the book, I put it away, and a month later, I met my husband.
Wow.
So it's kind of the universe and God puts you where you need to be, give you the lessons you need to learn, and help you close out those things that you worry about before you enter into that next phase of your life.
I absolutely, absolutely love that. There are just so many beautiful, yummy little nuggets in there as you were speaking. I'm just like, I love this. You know, because so much of us preparing to go into a relationship starts with where we are. Like you said, starts with, you know, trying to discover where we are, realizing that the story isn't quite finished yet. And I mean, that really resonated with me when you talked about that, because I was in the process of writing a book as well and got halfway through and was just like, I thought I was having writer's block. And no, it was just that I had not experienced the rest of that story yet. Mm-hmm. I hadn't lived the rest of that story yet. So I needed to stop because it wasn't over yet. I hadn't gotten to the juicy part yet, or I hadn't gotten to the best part yet. And so sometimes it is a matter of us doing that and saying, okay, let me stop for a minute and see where I am, because we're going about writing our own personal stories in the way that we think that our life is supposed to be going. And then things change and we have to stop. We have to stop and do a bit of that reassessment and say, wait a minute now, wait, let me see where I am. And maybe I'm not finished yet. I'm thinking I'm done. Because I'm thinking this is where I'm supposed to be. But then, like I said, God or source or whoever you believe in says, not quite yet. Wait a minute, there's more. And we have to be open-minded to that. But we do. We have to stop and look around for a little bit, you know? So I love that you say that. And then here it is. Once it gets to that place where it's time to pick up where you left off, then there's a whole nother adventure, you know? It's not putting that blocker or that you know, barrier in front of you, but being able to say, I see that there's a hill over there. I don't know what's over that hill. I'm going to still walk a little bit and see what's over that hill, but I'm not going to put up, you know, a barrier and not allow myself to be able to move forward. So there's so many beautiful moving pieces, you know, as you're explaining how you wrote this book and how you got to the end. And then here it is, like you said, a month later, you were open mm-hmm. to receive what it was that he had for you, and that blessing of your husband, Jeff. You know, beautiful is that. I just love it. I love it. You know, but like you said, it's about going through stages. It's like I said, the title of this show is Serving Your Soul. And so, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what serving our soul looks like. How, you know, what is it that we want to be able to do that's going to give us that ability to rehabilitate and that ability to restore things that can become stagnant.
You know, when you want to serve your soul, and this is my belief, and nobody has to agree with me, it's fine. I'm good with that. But, you know, it all comes down to your faith. What you believe in, okay? I don't care what anybody believes in, but what do you believe in? Something bigger than you, okay? Something good, bigger than you. And part of being successful in life, there's all these different measurements for success. But for me, I have never been able to be successful in my work or in my relationships unless my religious beliefs were being honored. Okay. As long as I am walking the walk that I believe I should be walking. It's amazing in my career, in my job, in my friendships, in my personal life. When you involve God in that and that conversation,
yes,
everything is better. And, you know, my book, when I met Jeff and we started dating, and then I finally published it just a few years ago in 2019. And, you know, he was like, I'm not going to make you read this book. It's definitely a chick book. Not going to go there. But there was one chapter it was important for me to have him read. And it's the one right in the middle. It's the one between the crappy part and the rebuilding part. And it's called Find Your Faith. Because as women, you know, we are wired differently than men. And we go through life not knowing who we are, because the world has forgotten who we are, apparently, when the world can't even tell you what a woman is. But so how are we supposed to know who we are?
Right.
And you're going through life, and I'll give you the example that I know you're going to resonate with, Kim. You're at work. Right. You're making these big decisions about who's going to get hired or who's going to do this or how much we're going to spend here or whatever. Big decisions. Like nothing's going on. You come home at the end of the day, you walk in the house, you put your stuff down, and one of your kids comes up to you and says, "Mommy, what are we having for dinner?" And you melt the freak down.
Right. What? The most hated question. What are we having for dinner?
Said about it. I mean, it gets you in here.
Right.
I'm going to tell you why that happens. Because when you're working in the corporate world or when you're working in a job, there you're working in the male-centered environment. There's right. nothing wrong with men. I happen to love them dearly. But there is a difference between men and women. Not better, not worse, just right. different. And for a while, I worked for a women's financial education platform, had my Series 7 and all that stuff. And my job was to teach the men how to work with their women clients, because they were freaking out because women all of a sudden had this money and they didn't know what to do with them. And the women didn't want to manage their money. So I was trying to help women understand how we naturally are good investors and you should engage in managing money because it would behoove you for your future.
Right.
And in the process of that, I thought, this is going to be great. I'm going to learn all about men. What I found out was I already knew about men. I had had two sons. I had had two husbands. I had two older brothers, and I had a 6'5" military officer for a father. I had the man thing down. I was doing well at it. What I didn't know was how to be a girl. I did not know how to be the girl. And that is unfortunate for most of us because we fall into that trap. We're told you can have it all. And we go to college and we get our degree and we do all of things to have it all. And you can't have it all, just not at the same time. You really can't have it all at the same time. And so we accommodate and we morph into this thing that we need to be to survive all of these multiple roles. And even in the way we make decisions, there's a difference between the way men make decisions and women make decisions. And I'm not going to go through the whole explanation, but if I were to do an illustration of the process a man uses, picture an arrow, straight, about 3 feet long, starts here, has a little foof at this end and a point at this end, and that's it. That's how men make decisions. Straight line, to the point, matter of fact, shoot it off and it's done.
Right.
Now, we're women. How do we make decisions? Why is it so hard to decide what to cook for dinner when I go into woman mode, when I go into mom mode? Well, I give you a box. It's 4 inches by 4 inches, square box. You open it up and there's a metal cylinder thing in it. You go to pull it out and it starts to stretch. It's a slinky. Well, what most people don't know, I do, I watch the History Channel, I know stuff. It is 85 feet long of this.
Wow.
Okay, that is the diagram of how women make decisions. 85 feet of this. Have you ever tried to buy a pair of shoes? How long does that take? Okay. And it's just a pair of shoes, people. But yet we do the validating, the circumventing, considering everybody else that's involved and what do they need and will this impact them and how will this work? And if I do this, what will so-and-so say and how will the until when we're done, we come up with the perfect decision. Okay. And that works great until you're doing something like getting divorced where there is no perfect decision.
Right.
Or your child is sick and there is no perfect decision.
Right.
And then we don't know what to do. And so as women, when you finally understand who we are as women and how we're wired, and I work with women from all over the world. I've had clients from India, from Russia, from South Africa, you name it, from Nigeria. I've had women clients from all over the United States. Yeah. And you know what? Even with the different languages and the different cultures and the different religions, we all as women have more in common with each other. And the way we experience the world.
Yeah.
And when you get around women that you can be women with, that's why we need our friends so much. That's why your get together with your girlfriends is going to be so amazing. That
so
one
amazing. Friend. Yes, yes.
Because as women, we need someone else that understands who we are. So we can just be ourselves for that few minutes. Be female. Make decisions that go like this and be confusing and be moody and be all the things that we can be.
Right.
And it's okay. And then because you start.
I was going to say, and as we get older and menopause and all those other lovely things start coming into play, you desire even more to be, you know, to just be who you are and not have someone say, oh, well, you're just acting like that because it's that time of the month, or you're just acting like that because you're menopausal. You're just, I'm just being what I am. And yeah, I know the hormones have a little to do with that, but can I just be what I am without having to feel threatened that I may lose my employment or I might, you know, wind up losing relationships because I have to be who I am? It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
But, you know, it's, to be fair to the men that live with us, it's not their fault they don't have a clue because we didn't know either. If we didn't know who we were and we didn't know why we did these crazy things, like, why do women stop and ask for directions? You know you do it. You know you do it. You're driving down the road. You have GPS. You have a map. You've called somebody. You're going. You keep hitting the replay my directions button. Sooner or later, can't take it anymore. You pull off the road into a perfectly good convenience store where you've never met the person before and you will never see them again. And you ask two questions. Am I on the right road?
Right.
And if I keep heading the direction I'm going, will I get where I need to be?
Right.
That's not directions. That's validation. You are validating your place in the equation. And for us as women, a lot of that circular decision-making thing is the validation process. And when I can't tell you how many women don't know, it is something we as women do. We validate.
Yes.
We just do. You have a group of friends, you all use the same hairdresser. You use the same dentist. You take your children to the same pediatricians. Because if someone else has done this and made the decision,
right.
And we trust them, we'll defer to their this. And we'll just take their decision.
I love that. I love that. Because you're right. It is about validation. Because there's a lot that we do know, and we just want somebody to say, yeah. 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 Because we've done the leg work. Like you said, we've done all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have done it till our slinky doesn't slink back anymore. It's that old jumbledy one, you know what I mean? When you use it so much that it just swirls up and then it just doesn't have that, or it gets a kink in it and it's just no longer, doesn't slink as like it used to. Yeah. But I love that. It is. It is about validation. It is. You know, I need for you to confirm this. I mean, and I, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just did that today. You know, it's my husband was traveling. I was like, when are you coming back? Because I want to make sure that I have things, you know, that we've coordinated time and what have you. He sent me the itinerary. I looked at it. It told me the dates and the time. And I still said, just in case, I just want to make sure because it clicks into the overnight. So I was like, so you come in on this day or that day? I can look at the actual itinerary and see. But I still needed that validation. He's like, yeah, babe, that's it. It's going to be this. And I was like, oh, okay. We do that. We seek that validation. We seek that validation, just like you said. And when it's not there, or if divorce comes into play and you're no longer with that person, and that person may have been a person who you connected with. And you know, I think about if I divorce my current husband, he does a lot of contract work and house restorations and rehabilitations and things like that. And he's really good with cards. And so he knows all of those things. If we were to divorce, yes, there are there other people who are, no, but not people who live in my house. People who I'm married to. So I'd be like, uh-oh. You know, we have to get to that point where, you know, sometimes we lose our footing and it's like, okay, I've got to get my footing back. And I've got to get my confidence back. I've got to get to a space where, yes, that person compliments and I'm happy that that person is there. But when that person is not there, I have to be able to get myself out of the hole that I feel like I've fallen into, you know, when you've lost the person who you shared a portion of your life with.
Well, and, you know, if you're getting divorced, obviously there was something wrong. Okay. Doesn't mean he was bad or you were bad or anybody did anything egregious. You know, what is the number one cause of divorce? What do you think it is?
I say communication.
Well, that goes into it. I think the real answer is you married the wrong person. Here's the thing. When I was researching for my book, there were shelves of books on how to plan a wedding. How to pick your dress, how to do this, how to do that. And there was this little shelf over here on how to get divorced. And most of those books were written by men. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm getting divorced. I don't want another man telling me what to do. So hell no, I'm not reading those. Okay?
Right, right.
And then I tried reading them and there was one by Miss Universe in which she was complaining because they had five houses and she didn't know which one she was going to get. And you just got to sit there and think, what is going on here? And so that was part of the impetus for writing my book, was to share something that would validate for most women what they're going through so that they know what to expect, so they know how it feels. Because what is the one question? And I know every woman listening to this will go, yeah, I've asked it. I get asked all the time by my clients, am I going crazy? Am I crazy?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We did. And without validating with someone else, well, you might be crazy, but you have a reason.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or no, you're not crazy. You're just not happy right now. And that's okay. But, you know, there are just those things that sometimes you have to ask. And
right.
when you don't have someone to ask them of, or you don't know you can ask. That's right. The other thing. Women, why can't we ask for help? I don't know, but we can't. We don't. And I don't want to say can't. It's just we won't.
Right. Right.
Nope. We don't want to do that. And
right.
We want our friends to come to us and ask for help. We will give them the shirt off our back, the heart out of
right.
our chest. We will do whatever
right.
it takes
right.
to help them.
Right.
But why can't I ask? And that's one of the things that as women, if we could as a community get better at understanding that, why didn't your friend come to you and ask for that help? For the same reason you didn't go to her and ask for help either.
Right.
And when we start opening up and being honest and communicating with our friends about
right.
what's going on in here,
right,
we get healthier
right.
and happier.
Yeah, I said it's interesting. It's just like you were saying, you know, someone will ask for directions, you know, like you said, to get the validation. And one thing that I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, as I was talking about the toolboxes again, you know, I said it's important for us to remember that, you know, we can have the tools just like we have a tire iron and a spare tire and things in our car. It doesn't mean that we necessarily know how to use them. So sometimes we have to ask for help. Sometimes we have to ask for help. We have them, you know, and that's it. Sometimes we feel like we have everything we need, or sometimes you're that go-to person that everybody goes to. So you feel like you can't ask for help. But even the person, you know, just like we tell people, coaches need coaches too. Everybody needs somebody, because we may have the things that we need, but sometimes we don't quite know how to use them. We need for somebody to show us how to use them. Think about people who are in carpentry or anything else. They start out as an apprentice. They have to be under somebody for somebody to show them how to use the tools. They've got all of those things that they need. And now it's like, okay, I have what I need. I don't know how, you know, quite how to use it. So sometimes we just have to be able to, like you said, get out of our own way to be able to say, I just, you know, yes, I have the resources, or I have things like, but I need that. I need a little bit of help. I need somebody to help.
And that
And we
is
have to
so
not be ashamed
hard.
to ask.
That
It
is
is.
so hard for us as women. That, I mean, true story, I would have met my husband 2 years before I met him, had I been able to ask for help. We were talking and he called, and I was losing my mind because it had frozen in Texas and it's not supposed to freeze in Texas.
Right.
And the pipes in my barn had burst,
oh
and they
my
were
goodness.
flooding my barn. And I'm like, my
Yes.
horses, what am I going to do? And he says, I can come over and fix it. No, 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 no. It's okay. It's okay. I paid three people to come fix it and they've never fixed it the way I want it. And I'm fussing and I'm fussing and I'm fussing. And he's like,
right.
I will come fix it for you. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know you. And if you come fix this, I owe you. So
Right.
No, you cannot come fix it.
Right.
Because
Right.
What if I didn't like him? What if I had this man in working in my barn? I didn't even like him. So then I'm stuck because he fixed my barn. Now I owe him. What
right.
is up with that? What is up with that? Why do we
right.
do that? But I did. And I didn't
Me
meet
too.
Him for 2 years.
Wow.
And, you know, you it's that, what is wrong with asking for help when we know we'd all give it to someone who needed it without blinking?
Yes, I don't know whether it becomes a matter of the heart. Is that a part of it? I'm not sure. You know, where it's, if that person has the ability, or there's a possibility that they'll have my heart, that's too close. It's too close. I've got to put up something. There's got to be a barrier there so that way, you know, if they get too close, I don't want to, I'm scared. I'm gonna get hurt again, so I'm scared. So now I'm backpedaling. Ah, You're too close. You're getting too close. Mm-hmm. And so then, like you said, you start backing up like, no, that doesn't sound like a good idea. Mm-hmm. So when do we get to that space again where we're, like you said, where we change our mindset, where we're open to receiving, like you said, that help, receiving mm-hmm. that love, mm-hmm. you know, receiving that powerful relationship. But, you know, I don't know how we eliminate that fear. How do we serve our soul? How do we serve our soul? How do we get to that place again?
That I do know. It's a process. I give you that. It is a process. But, you know, you always wonder, you know, when am I going to be an adult? You know, what am I going to do when I grow up? When am I going to be an adult? And I admit I'm getting pretty close. And I think I've come to the conclusion that we finally become an adult when we're comfortable living in our own skin. And when we get comfortable doing these things like asking for help, is when we finally get honest enough with ourselves to say, if I wouldn't mind doing that for someone else,
right,
it is okay for me to ask someone else to do that for me. Because we, you know, we go through life being told, don't ask for too much, don't overuse other people, don't do the all the don'ts.
Right.
We never hear the do's. Do unto others as you would want them to do for you.
That's right.
I mean, that is one of the biggest things we learned when we were a kid, and then it went right out the window. And so when you learn that if this is something you would do for someone else, it's okay to ask. But the other thing that gets us into so much trouble is it's not what happens that upsets the apple cart. We think it is.
Right.
She said something ugly to me, or this happened, or whatever. And we go all off. It's not what happened that upsets us. Right. It was our expectations. We go through life making expectations. Why don't we ask people to help us? Because they may tell us no. And if they tell us no, well, then shouldn't I be offended or hurt? No. But we think we will be.
Right.
And so we don't ask because we don't want to be told no, because then we're going to be upset. Whereas if you say, would I do that for someone else if they needed it? Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, so I can ask. But at the same time, if someone asked me to do it, I'm not obligated. And if I can't or I won't, that's not my problem. And if they can't or they won't, I have no reason to be angry with them.
Right.
Because sometimes I have to say no too. And my reasons are mine. Right. Nobody else needs to know why.
Right. See, when I think about it, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When you take that expectation of what's supposed to happen out of the equation, everything gets so much easier. You just let life happen.
Right. You know, when as you were speaking about that, I was thinking, you know, no is a complete sentence. You always tell people that. Like, no is a complete sentence. And sometimes you have to say no because they're not, you or that person is not in a place to be able to give their best. I tell people, no, at this point, I have to say no because I want to be able to give you the best of what it is that you're asking for. And when I can't give you my best, I have to say no. You know, you know, if I do it right now, it's not going to be what it is that you need. And we have to internalize that and say, okay, if somebody else says no, there's a reason why they're saying it. And I don't want somebody to do something for me and then I'm experiencing animosity afterwards. Because now they're upset because they had to step out of their way, or they had to do something out of their way, or they had to go out of their way, or they had to spend something, or they had to do something that was outside of the realm of reason for them just to satisfy me. I don't want to do that either. Mm-hmm. So it just really requires us sitting. And when we're talking about doing all of this, that needs to be added into the equation too. You know, why? And if they just say no, okay, no. And let me move on to the next person, because why am I forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do? Because they're going to do is be upset with me because now they felt like they were pushed to do it and they didn't have to.
Yeah.
And I would want that same courtesy extended to me if I said no.
And I whenever I'm going to ask somebody something, I don't do the whole, let's see if you're even available thing. I just say, look, I have a question to ask, and no is a perfectly acceptable answer, and I will understand.
Right.
And then you ask the question. You've already told them no is okay. I
Right.
will understand. And it's amazing the pressure that takes off
You're
of
right.
not only you, but the other person.
That's right. I mean, that's the thing. It's all about, perspective. To me, it's all about how we empathize with one another. Are we taking into consideration each other's feelings? I am huge proponent of, do not discount how somebody feels about something. It's real to them. Just like you're talking about validation, we're seeking validation because it's real to us. What happened to us is real. And so, when I hear people say, oh, yeah, you're doing too much, you're doing the most, you're being extra. Okay. It's real to me. What's happening to me is real to me. And so, I just want you to be able to acknowledge that this is happening to me. I'm not saying that you have to agree with me. I'm not saying that you have to, jump on the bandwagon with me, raise a picket sign with me. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying, I'm sorry that you experienced what you experienced, but I'm not saying that it didn't happen. And that's what they're looking for, that validation. Okay, yeah, you may not agree with me, but at least you're validating that what I'm telling you is something that's real to me or true to me. And I think, when you're talking about us as women, yeah, we're looking for that validation. Stop telling me I'm doing the most. Stop telling me I'm being extra. I'm not being extra. This is real to me. And you're discounting how I feel about that, so I don't feel valued.
Well, and one of the things we've been taught to do as women is we live from the outside in. We consider everyone else's needs first. What do my children need? What do my husband need? What does my job need? What do the animals need? What do my friends need? What does my boss need? What does my coworkers need? And I, you know, how many times do you say to women, you say, well, where do you fit into all of that? And you're like, I'm not even on the list. Women say it all the time. I'm not even on the list.
That's right.
And part of this process that we as women need to embrace is instead of living from the outside in, taking everybody else into consideration first and leaving ourselves off, we start from in here.
That's right.
What do I want? Doesn't mean I can have it. First of all, we have to ask ourselves the big question. What do I want? Well, I want that beautiful blue Jaguar right there on the corner. Well, can I afford it? Do I even know how to drive it? Do I have a garage to park it in? Oh, I can't have the Jaguar. Okay. And this is some people go, oh, but I want it. And you're telling me to honor my heart and what I want. No, it's sometimes reality has to come into play. And sometimes
Reason.
what we want, we can't have.
Right.
We just can't have it. And that's okay. But we can acknowledge we still want it. It's
Right.
okay to want things. You don't know where you're going to be next week, next month, next year. Things can change. But for right now, it's first of all, honor what you want. But where most women then go, oh, but what about everybody else? I'm not saying to the deficit of everyone else. I'm saying ask
Right.
what I want. Ask yourself, is it even possible? And then if it is possible, then think about the people in your life.
Right.
And if you can do what you want without totally shattering someone else, by all means, go ahead and do what you want.
That's it.
And if you
That's it.
think that what you want is going to shatter someone else, then you decide, is it worth it? And if
Right.
it's not worth it, then you're doing what you want because the not worth it is to you.
That's right. That's
And
right.
so you become the center of your world and you're living from the inside out. And it's such a relief for everybody around you.
Yeah. That's huge. And as you were speaking, you know what? I was so abstract, but I was saying, think about those people who are contestants on a game show. Okay. And they go up there, they win the prize, they get there, and they. You're a winner. You just won a pair of, RV, those little motorbikes or something like that. You won that. Are you really a winner if you have no place to put that? Suppose you came on that show and you live in an apartment. Where are you putting those? You don't have anywhere to put it. So where you put it? So you're a winner. You've won. You've obtained something. You were working to get that thing. So yeah, it's like, now where are you putting it? What are you doing with it? So are you really a winner? So sometimes the things that, and I say all that to say that sometimes the things that we're trying to obtain, are they really, like you were saying, are they really to our benefit? And then we're thinking, okay, yes, I've won. I'm considered a winner. I've got this. Now, what am I going to do with it?
How am I
If
going
it
to
was
get it?
something that I didn't, it's something that I didn't plan for. What am I going to do with it? So it's just, I was thinking that because I was like, there are so many opportunities for us to gain certain things that are not necessarily for our well-being. But because we're told that it makes us a winner, or that is something that's going to benefit us, how is it going to benefit us? Who did they poll to find out that that was the best thing for you to have? Or that was, we're sheeple at times. We follow what we think that we should have, what everybody else have, but we don't know the background. Somebody else can have five cars because they may have a five-car garage. Somebody can have several horses because they have a barn. Okay. I can want several horses. I live in a house. I don't have a space for it. So are we chasing things that really are going that are going to serve us? Or are we just chasing the next sparkly, shiny thing that comes along?
And that's what you're doing when you're living from the outside in. You're chasing the things that you think will make everyone else look upon you favorably, not the things that feed your soul. And I think that if everyone took the time to figure out who they are in here, what makes you feel good?
Right.
What makes you feel anxious? Be honest and say, hey, this is who I am. And it's okay because, last I checked, and this is not my quote, it's Maya Angelou's. She said, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk.
Right. Right.
And we were each created to be who we are.
Right.
And if you look at the genetics that go into it, as a friend of mine said, it's like winning the lotto. There's never going to be another you. This is your winning lotto ticket. Who you are is who your winning lotto ticket. And most people that I know and that I've worked with have spent the majority of their life fighting with themselves because they didn't like who they were or they didn't know who they were.
Right. And that's the unfortunate part. It's like you said, it starts from within.
And how do you, when I say the number one reason for divorce is because we married the wrong person. How do you pick the right person to marry when you don't even know who you are?
There you have it.
How do you know? How do you know? And when you find out who you are and you get comfortable in your own skin and you stop making excuses or apologizing for who you are, then you can sit down and we call it Build a Man. I have an online group for women going through divorce and we do a Build a Man project every now and again, kind of like Build a Bear. And the idea is if you want a good man to find you, shouldn't you have a good idea of who he is? So you know when he's found you. And we go through the characteristics. And I don't mean physical characteristics because, they just have to be attractive to you is my answer. I don't know what attractive looks like to you. I don't even know what it looks like to me. I know it when I see it.
Right.
But what emotional qualities do they need to have? Can they hold space for you? Will they take care of you if you're sick? Are they proud of themselves? Do they have great sense of self-esteem? Are they proud of their career? Do they love what they do? Everybody has a different list of things. But when you have that list of what works for you and what you want in a relationship and the things that have worked in the past, and the things that haven't worked, and those go down as the big red flags.
Right.
you have the deal breakers.
Right.
And then you have the things to watch out for. When you've got that and you know, now you're ready to date intelligently. Knowing what you want at the end of this. And why is it wrong to say, I am looking for my life partner? I don't want to date. Sorry, I don't need somebody to buy my dinner. I was looking for my life partner. And that's when I quit dating. And people go, isn't that backwards? No, that was the right way to do it.
Right.
No, if I go on a date with someone one time and I don't like them, doesn't mean they're a bad person.
Right.
They're just not my person. Yeah. They have no potential to be my person. Why bother?
Right.
And put myself first.
Right.
Came from the inside out. And I quit dating and met the love of my life.
And that's a beautiful place to be. Just like you said, inside out. Just like I said, as we begin to wrap things up into this beautiful bow, I mean, it is. It's starting, like you said, with the inside of knowing what the end result is. When we get into our car, and like you said, we put on our GPS, we don't just go out there and just start driving. We have a destination. So we have some idea of where we're going. Now, there may be some twists and turns and some detours and some other things that may go on, but we have a destination in mind. And so just like you said, it's not putting the cart before the horse to say that I want a life partner, because if that's what you're looking for, it's like you said, there are some people who are out there who are literally just, all I want to do is date. There are some people who are going to decide that I just think that I'm better just being by myself. And that's okay too. But it's getting to a point of what does that path look like for you? What is your destination? Is your destination to be single? Is your destination to be in a relationship? Is your to date? Or is your decision to find that lifelong partner and start positioning yourself towards that? Just like you said, there's nothing wrong with that. That's being honest with yourself and being able to tap into you and saying, okay, this is what I want and not what everyone else's expectation is. How many of us as women, your aunt said, when are you going to get married? You're getting old, you're going to be a spinster. You're going to have cats and sit in a rocking chair. You're not going to
date with the intention to be married, to get married, not to find the love of their life, not to find a person they could spend their life with. The goal is to be married. And I got to tell you, you and I have a couple numbers behind us that, marriage sucks when you're married to the wrong person.
Okay.
And it drains everything out of you. And we put no energy into understanding who that right person would be before we go into it. And that's where I think the big disconnect comes in for us as women, because we're not the hunters. We're the find, they find us.
Right.
The man has to think about what he's looking for. We're just waiting to be found. And too many women are, I just want to be married. And they don't understand that they deserve more than just that. Anybody can go out and get married. There's somebody out there that will marry you. The difference
I'm a
is,
I'll marry you.
do you want to be married?
Right.
Or do you want to have a relationship that deserves a marriage?
Right.
It's not the marriage, it's not the relationship. That's a piece of paper. That is a piece of paper.
Right.
It's the relationship. And that's what needs the work before, during, every day of the rest of your life. And when you put the work in, you get the reward.
Yeah. Because like you said, it starts within. It starts in the soul. Oh my. Oh my. So many wonderful nuggets. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. I can sit here and we can talk all day. But what I do want to do is give people an opportunity to, find out how they can get your book, how they can find out more about you and the services that you provide. So I'll ask first that you know, if there's a contact that they can reach you, either a contact number, or if there's a website that they can reach you at where they can obtain your book. Tell us a little bit how people can get in contact with you.
My book is available on any book dealer, Amazon, whoever's out there selling books these days. And it's A Woman's Guide to Surviving Divorce. And as I said, it's not my story. It's the story of the common things that happen to women and how we experience the process. My website is www.isurvived.info. And I've got a contact me page there. You can contact me through that. You can set up a time for us to talk. You need to talk. I love to talk. Set up a free consultation. We'll sit and talk. Sometimes awesome. That's all somebody needs is just to do some validating and hear they're not crazy. I can do that. If you need more than that, that's what I do. And we'll talk about that. I'm on Facebook, Allison okay. Jeffries, and it's Jeffreys. And I'm on LinkedIn as well. And, awesome. You know, message me there, reach out. And as I said, I do have a group on Facebook for women. It's my give back because I'm blessed. I've lived a very blessed life and I get to help women. I get to have a job that I absolutely love, but you know, not everybody can afford a coach. I get that.
Right.
You know, and especially when you're going through a divorce, you don't know what you can afford.
Right.
So I have a group. And it's online community, women's, I'll have to think of what the name of it is. But anyway, I have a group online.
Make sure we put it in the description, yeah.
Yeah, and it's for women that just want to be around other women. And what I do differently in my call, in my group, is we do a Wednesday night group coaching call where we all get on the call, whoever wants to dial in, and we'll usually have 6, 7, 8 people at a time. And just talk about what you need to hear, talk about what you've been through. And what happens is the women in the group learn how to support each other, learn how to ask for help, learn how to validate consciously, learn learn through each other's stories what they could do differently the next time. And so as a community, it's the Surviving Divorce Online Community for Women is the name of it. And we get together and we help each other. And what I love about working with women is that women are exponential. You know, we are just exponential. And when we learn something good, what's the first thing we want to do? Share it with everybody we know.
That's right.
And, you know, the biggest compliment I got was when a client of mine afterwards, she's still in my group. She comes to the group because she enjoys it. She says, well, you know, that book we read and I'm doing it with this other girl in the group and we're doing it together. And I was sharing some of the stuff you had told me. And is that okay? And I'm like, that is more than okay. That not only makes me proud and fills my heart, but it's that exponential thing that says, not only did I help you, but by adjunct, I help every woman that you now can go out and serve and support and show love to. And if everyone just takes that moment to share whatever it is they've been blessed with, what knowledge they've got, what skills they have with someone else and encourage them, you know, this is something I'm giving to you so you can share it.
Right.
And if everyone takes that and passes it on sooner or later, we've started to turn this whole world in a better direction. And that's my goal.
That's it. That's it. And we're filling, like I said, your spiritual, your mental, and your physical toolbox with all these wonderful things. Like you said, when we share, just talked about that when we were talking about mental toolboxes. And talking about the importance of being able to share information. And then as we're sharing, we're hearing it again for ourselves. And it's helping to deepen our roots in what it is that we're learning. And we can continue to apply it because now we've mastered it in our own lives. So we're sharing, like you said, we're passing it along. Just like this platform, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to share and to grow and to be, as you said, better versions of ourselves in the end. So this has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I appreciate you taking time out to talk about how we can serve our souls, talk about how we can survive divorce, how we can talk about, seeking, with invalidating ourselves and asking for help. So many wonderful ways in which we can fill those toolboxes with things that we need. So when we get to a point of crisis, we can step back and say, okay, this is what I need for this occasion. This is how I can address this situation that's going on in my life. And it comes from us communicating with one another, coming together as a community of women so that their strength, their support, and those are things that we need. So like I said, I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me. One question, of course, that I ask my guests at the end of every show is, how do you cope? How do you create our, how do you contribute to creating our peaceful existence by what you do in the now? How are you living in this now?
You know, every year I choose a word or a couple of words for that year. Last year, and after COVID particularly, kinder and gentler was there for a long time. Because we need to not only be kinder and gentler with everybody else in our lives, but we need to be kinder and gentler with ourselves. This year, I've decided we're moving a little bit beyond that, and we're moving forward, and we're into purpose and passion and magic. Because when you know your purpose, when you know why you're here, when you know what you want to contribute, what you want to leave behind as your legacy in this world.
Right.
When you do it with passion, because you know it's important and it's meaningful to you, in the end, life becomes magic. And that's where the magic is. And I think we're all due a healthy dose of magic about right now.
Yeah, I am 100% agree. All right. Well, one more thing. Are there any parting words that you'd love to leave with our listeners before we roll out of here?
You know, this sounds so simple, and it's two words, and it's the best advice I can ever give. And it's the best advice I've ever gotten. No matter what, be yourself.
Be
Just
yourself.
Be yourself.
I love it. I love it. Again, thanks again for being here with me, Allison, for sharing space with me. You are now officially part of the How Now family. Know that you are always welcome to come back, because whatever's happening in your now right now may be different 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 years from now. So you're always welcome to come back and share what's going on in your now. So again, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for sharing space with me and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and all that is going on. I wish you the best moving forward in everything that you seek to do. So thanks again. All righty. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.